Exodus chapter number 8. And we'll turn over and read verse number 25. This is something tonight the Lord really impressed on my heart as I was going back and forth to work this morning and on the job. And God spoke to my heart. This is the message God wants to preach tonight. And Lord willing, we're going to do that. You pray, God will have His way. God will have His leadership tonight in the message. There'll be no preaching unless the Lord comes on the scene. And it won't do any good for us tonight unless the Holy Spirit drives it to our heart. And I trust tonight that that's exactly what happens. The Lord does the preaching and the Holy Spirit does the dealing. Amen. In Exodus chapter number 8, verse number 25, the Bible said, "And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, It is not meet so to do. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before our eyes? And will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as He shall command us." Now, I want to mention this before we read any further. What he's saying is, if we stopped right here and sacrificed in the midst of these people, they'd make fun of us. Be like going out on the terms of the world tonight and trying to have a service in the middle of a football field while the football game's going on. That's what he's saying. And he said, we can't do that. He said they'd make fun of us. They'd stone us. They'd be ready to do it. And folks, I'm going to tell you, there's a place for the worship of God. Amen. Then he said in verse 28, "And the Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." And Moses said, "Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." Now that's the second compromise. The first one I read to you in verses 25 through 27. And then Pharaoh tried to compromise again. Take your Bible and turn to verse 8 of the 10th chapter, not the book of Exodus. And you find tonight Pharaoh trying to compromise another time. "And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, Go, serve. He said, Go, serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? And Moses said, We will go with our young ones, and with our old, with our sons, and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds we will go. For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for evil is before you. Not so, go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence." That's the third compromise. The fourth one is in verse 25 of the same chapter. "Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go." Four compromises Pharaoh tried to give to the servant Moses. But Moses said, "There shall not a hoof be left behind." Amen, for the man of God. Now let me say this tonight, then I'll bring you the message. Span back over in verse number 28 of the 10th chapter, or the 9th chapter, or 8th chapter, get it right in a minute. In the 8th chapter of Exodus. "And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away, entreat for me." And I want to bring a message tonight on don't go too far. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Our Father, thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to bow before the throne of mercy again tonight. God, we plead the blood of Christ over this message. Lord, we ask you tonight to touch our tongue and our lips for your glory. Lord, I pray tonight that you might open heaven. God, you might speak to us through the power
of the blessed Holy Ghost. God, may the presence of God be real. May we know that, Lord, You visit us tonight when we walk out the door. I pray, God, You'd take our lives and, Lord, open them up before us and let us see ourselves as we are. Help us not to see our neighbor. Help us not to see the one down the street or the one next to us. But, oh, God, tonight, help us to see our heart. God, help us tonight to lay ourselves before God. And I pray, Lord, the blessed Holy Ghost tonight convict us of sin and dross that might be in our life that, Lord, would hinder us from being the vessel, the servant that You want us to be. Oh, God, I pray send conviction where conviction's needed. Lord, touch our hearts. Bless those tonight, Lord, who's in a place of blessing. And we'll praise You for what You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, beloved, I want to look at this tonight. Thrills my heart when I look and see some things. And it's a real blessing to know that God's people, the Bible said in verse number 23, this is not in the message, but I want to throw it in. In verse 23 of the 8th chapter, it said, "And I will put a division between My people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be." God said, down there in the land of Goshen, where My people dwell, they will not come into contact with any kind of problem or any kind of flies or any kind of pestilence. When the plagues are brought upon Pharaoh, there won't be any to the child of God in the land of Goshen. Aren't you glad you're one of God's little youngins tonight? Amen. I'm glad I know who protects me and takes care of me and leads me and directs me. I'm glad tonight I've got one that knows more about me than I know about myself. But I want to say this tonight. The devil does not want you to have everything that God wants you to have. He don't. The devil does not want you to have all that God has for you. I believe we fall short. We miss the mark. We lose a lot of things going through this life because we don't want to listen to the voice of God. Amen? Now, look, there's something tonight. I believe old Moses was a man of God. I have no doubt whatsoever. God picked him up. God called him. God chose him. God picked him out. And God trained him. God qualified him. God got him ready and sent him down to Pharaoh's court to deliver out the Israelites on that day that God appointed. But can you see in this day? This modern hour, if some preachers were sent down to Pharaoh, I can just imagine some of these folks today going down trying to deliver out God's people and patting Pharaoh on the back and begging with him, pleading with him. Moses didn't do that. He was the man of God who stood flat-footed, looked the devil in the eye, and said, "I've come to get God's people. God sent me after them." Amen. Now I want you to notice something. Pharaoh tried to make four compromises. He did not want to let them go. And he had reasons for that. He wanted to build cities with the people of God. He wanted to make merchandise out of the people of God. The world wants to make merchandise of me. It wants to make merchandise of you as a child of God tonight. The Lord wants to bless us, but the devil tonight tries to hold us back. Amen? Am I right so far? You staying with me? Listen to me tonight. But he said here, "I want you to go. You can take a match on her, but don't go too far. Now don't get out of my sight. Don't get too far that I can't put my hand back on you." And that's what the world says tonight. That's what the devil says tonight. That's what the worldly things say to us tonight. Don't go too far. I mean, stay inside of everything. Now, I got some things I want to talk about tonight. I believe God's put on our heart. There's some things tonight the devil tells us not to go too far in. Number one, the devil says don't go too far in your worship. Amen? Don't go too far in your worship. And I believe you'll understand what I'm talking about. Now, I believe tonight we need worship. God put down in here something that I need. And it's worship. I need to adore the Savior, the Lamb of God. And a lot of folks are not settled on what worship is. But worship is getting the place that we exalt and magnify and extol the Lord. If we put the Lord in the midst of our heart, in the front row of our heart, and bow before Him and exalt Him and magnify Him, that's worship tonight. But now listen, somebody said, "Preacher, I worship on Sunday." Listen, if that's all you worship on Sunday, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. We're living in an ungodly world. We're living in a dark place. We're living in a wicked day. And if the only time you worship God is on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night only, then you're in trouble. You're really in trouble. So you say, "Well, who are we to worship?" First of all, I believe we ought to worship down at the house. Amen. Now I'm not talking about the house of God right now. We need to worship in our households. Amen? We need to worship God in our households. We need to have that family worship. If we don't have family worship, our families will fall apart. I'm telling you the truth tonight. Beloved, I'm telling you the devil fights it. He don't want it. I'll tell you tonight, fellas, it's our God-given responsibility to get up in the morning, get our shoes and our clothes on, and bring our family before the throne of God and lay them out before God to start the new day. It's our God-given responsibility tonight to take our family and gather them together and use the Word of God and lay them and present them before God before we go to bed at night. And if we don't have that family worship tonight, we're in trouble, amen, down the road. Are you with me tonight? Tell the truth. We need to have that family worship. We don't have that family worship, we're going to get in trouble. I want to tell you, the devil will fight that. He'll give you the headache. He'll get you so tired you don't want to read your Bible. He'll get you so tired you won't want to pray. He'll get you so involved in activities of life, you'll want to sleep a little extra in the morning. But I'll tell you, I believe it's our God-given privilege and responsibility to rise up and lead our family in a worship service at home. Our worship services, the house of God, be better if we worshiped at home. Then the second thing, I believe tonight, not only do we need that family worship, but we need that private worship. Listen to me, folks. We're not much count for God if all we've done is just sit down on the front row of some church and listen to the preacher preach and read our Bible down at the house of God. We need to have family devotions and time when we can sit down with our family, number one. And then secondly, we need to steal alone somewhere, just us and God, and worship God in private. And if we don't do that, we're going to fall apart. We'll come loose at the seams. We'll bust loose. Well, this world, no wonder tonight, it does so much damage to our souls. It's because we're not worshiping God like we ought to. The devil says, don't go too far. He don't care you put your Bible under your arm and go down to the house of God and sit there and listen to the preacher every once in a while. He wants you to be a little religious. If you wasn't just a little bit religious, I mean, you might get you get the place that you'd be unsatisfied and you couldn't do anything for Him. So He wants you to be a little bit happy. He don't want you to be so sad that you recognize your sad condition. He wants to make you a little bit happy. He wants just to give you enough religion and enough of this thing called Christianity tonight just to get you occupied and to make you think you're doing all right. Right? He don't mind you picking up your Bible every once in a while. I'm telling you, I'm talking about saved folks now. Lost folks, listen, He'll keep them away from the Word of God. And He'll try to keep you away from the Word of God as a child of God. But He don't mind you opening it up every once in a while. He wants you to. He'll try to influence you. When you pick it up, He'll have everything on the sun running through your mind. Have you ever read chapter after chapter? Have you ever read a few chapters and then wondered what you read? And then about that time you woke up your senses and you're down about three chapters further and you didn't know a bit more of what you read than when you started. You ever been there? You see, He knows how to occupy your time. He don't mind you picking up your Bible and reading haphazardly like that. Am I right? Telling you the truth, folks. And we need that private worship. We don't get that private worship, we're going to come apart at the seams. You study your Bible and find men like Elijah who were great men. Men like Daniel who were great men. Men like the three Hebrew children that stood in the fiery furnace. Men who done something for God. They had a private time that they got alone with God. And they sought with God and with bitter tears before the Lord. And sought God in the Word. And God blessed them and they come out, brother, with the power and the fire of God on their life. That private worship. We need that private worship. We need that family worship. And then we need our public worship. You get your worship right, you'll be all right. The devil tonight says, just don't go too far. Don't push it too far. It's all right to sit down at the table and say, God is great, God is good, the devil will say. He said, it's all right to get down on your knees and say, now lay me down to sleep. He'll let you do that. But I'll tell you tonight, it takes the grace of God and the power of God to give us the place that we'll say, God, I want to sell out. I want to worship You. We missed it when we think all the worship we ought to have is on Sunday morning. We ought to worship God constantly. You say, but oh, but preacher, when we go into church, we worship Him. But when we go out the door, we go out to serve Him. I'm going to go on my job in the morning, and it's my responsibility to God to serve God out there in the job and in the public place. But if I don't have a little bit of worship time before I go, I'll fall apart at the seams. I'll get mad at the first word that's ever said to me. I've got to have God on me to go to the job. You've got to have God to go on the job, folks, tonight. You need that. We need that public worship. You said, why? Because we need that fellowship of the saints of God. If we don't have the fellowship, we'll fall apart. We need a fellowship of one another. Amen? It's good to be alone with God, and God recommends it and commands it and demands that we have that private worship. God demands that we take our families before God and present them before the throne. But God also commands that we go to the house of God. He said, not forsaken the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. God said, we need the public worship to get us right and keep us right and get us moving and motivated for the glory of God. Amen? God said we needed that. The devil said, don't go too far. Don't go out on a limb. Study your Bible, but don't be a fanatic. Read the Bible, but don't read about 2 chapters a day. You don't want to get too religious. That's what the devil does. He says you that. He'll say, you pray a little bit, but don't stay too long in prayer. You know, your grass is growing up, and you won't be able to get in the snakes or bite your children, and you won't be able to be fit for nothing. The neighbors go by and say, look at your yard. Amen? God, I'd really cut it with a flashlight at night if I have to. Amen. They sell lawnmowers now with headlights on them. I'd have laughed at that when I was a boy. They got them now. Folks, I'm telling you, we need that worship. The devil don't mind you worshiping a little bit. Just worship a little bit, as long as you don't get too far. But you get too far, you find yourself at the point of no return where you love that book and you don't want to do nothing but study that book. You don't want to do nothing but pray and seek the face of God. And you don't want to do nothing but lay your folk, your family and children before God. And you don't want to do nothing but go to revival meetings and camp meetings and every other thing where God's at. I'll tell you, He gets disturbed. He says, you're going out on the limb now. I'd just rather hang out there, amen. Just call me a crackpot. Just call me a fanatic. Praise God. Just join up and stay there. I believe God will bless you. The devil says don't go too far in worship. Then secondly tonight, the devil says don't go too far in your dedication. Now you can get dedicated. I want you to be dedicated to a certain extent, the devil says. I want you to identify with a crowd. Halfway clean your life up, put your act together, the devil says. But don't get whole hog in this thing. If you give it all to God, you're going to be talked about. Why, they'll laugh you to scorn if you sell out to God 100%. Hey, you're going to be persecuted and ridiculed. You don't want that, do you? The devil tells you those things. So he says, just don't go too far with it. Amen. You can dedicate yourself, but don't get too dedicated. Don't get so close to God that you lose sight of this world. That's what the devil says. God says, I want you to get so close to heaven that you lose sight of this whole world. Is that what God says? God said, I want you to get so close to God, or get so close to me, and get so close to heaven that you won't even care where you dwell down here any longer now. That's what God says. The devil said, that ain't what I want. Now I want you to get a little religious. I want you to put on a form. I want you to go to church. I don't want you to stay at home. I don't want you to get to it. I mean, you go down there, you sit there, but don't get active. Don't get to moving. Don't get involved in nothing. What he says. Now you take up space. You know you got a place down there. But don't you get too involved. Don't get too deep in that thing. Well, listen, you've got a lot of things to do. You've got to be careful. There'll be some things you'll have to give up. There's some things you'll have to quit doing if you get too far involved. That's what he says. I'm telling the truth. But our dedication tonight is very important. And our dedication tonight determines how much we love God. Honestly. Our dedication to Him will prove to this world how much we love God. Our dedication tonight, first of all, is proven in our church attendance. If we are haphazard in our church attendance, we are not proving to the world that we pass from death unto life. We can go haphazardly down to the house of God and just go when we take a notion and when we please and when the weather strikes us and when a notion hits us. Listen, we're not proving to the world that we've been saved by the grace of God. We're doing quite contrary to that. The devil said, don't get too involved. Go every once in a while. Go Sunday morning. Oh, but you don't want to go back Sunday night.
Hey, hey, it doesn't matter on Wednesday night. He'll tell you all sort of things. I believe he told a few of that tonight, didn't he? Amen.
He says, don't go too much. But our dedication to God is proven in our attendance. Boy, I'll tell you what, if people went on their public job and they attended their public job like they attend their church service, I guarantee you, there'd be some folks, brother, trying to they wouldn't be trying to be replaced. They'd be replaced.
Down there, Marshall Mill, where I work, you out 3 days of no word, you know what happens? You don't have a job. Ain't no need to report in. Most of the places where you work, about the same way. If you don't go to the house of God very often, you're going to miss something. You ever thought about that?
The night you miss, the day you miss, that's just the day God might have had something for you.
You said, but He knows I was going to be there. He knows you ought to be here every time.
There's 500 got up there in the upper room. They prayed. And as they prayed over there, the power of God fell. 500 started, but on the day of Pentecost, 10 days later, there was only 120 when the power of God came. What happened to the other 380?
They had something else to do. They missed it. Think about that. I reckon I subtracted that right, didn't I? 500, take 120 off 500. Isn't that 380? Amen.
Our dedication is proven tonight in our daily activities. Sure they are. Now the devil says, I want you to have fun. Now listen to me, bear with me tonight. I believe you'll get the message. I believe you'll catch the drift. I believe God's got something to tell us. I believe God wants to speak to us. I believe we need to listen to God tonight. Our dedication is proven in our daily activities. The devil says, hey, you've got time for this, you've got time for that, and after a while you're going to read your Bible and study and go to bed. He promises you the moon and gives you nothing. But our dedication is proven by our daily activities. Honestly, before God, they ought. When our hobbies get the time that God ought to have, our hobbies ought to be thrown away. When our pleasures get the place that they take us from the Word of God and take us off our knees, then we ought to throw our pleasures away. We'll sit down and watch an old movie 3 or 4 hours. Now listen to me, folks, and I'm not trying. I believe sometimes we look at this thing a little wrong. And we get the wrong idea about some things. But I'm going to tell you, the closer you get to God, the less you'll have any trouble with the Hollywood versions of all these things that come in your way. I believe the closer we get to God, the less the television will take its influence on our lives. I believe the more we pray and study and seek the face of God, I believe the less our hobbies will take interest in our hearts. I believe the more we pray and study and seek the face of God, the more we're dedicated to God, the more we'll want to do for God, and the less we'll want to do for the devil, and the less we'll even want to do for self tonight. We'll get rid of it. Am I right?
The old fellow one time went off up in Kentucky. This is a missionary friend. He took me out them old hillsides of Kentucky. Showed me them old coal mines, where they mined coal all their life. He went by an old house just about to fall in, pitiful thing, chickens running in the yard. And he said, preacher, I want you to pray for that man set me in that house. I've been in there talking to that man. He said, that man, he's up in years. He told me then how old he was, but I don't remember. He's up in years. He said, all he does is from the time he gets up in the morning, he sits and watches the television until it's night time to go to bed, he turns it off. He never comes out of his house. He never does anything. That man's glued to the television. I'm going to talk to him. He won't even listen. He's got his mind on that television. And I asked him a few months later about that man. He said that man died, went on into eternity without God, glued to that television set. He said, what'd you say that for? I'm here to tell you, folks, that man was lost. But there's a lot of Christian people, a lot of saved folks tonight
They'll sit and watch those things for 3 or 4 hours and won't even give God 10 minutes in a little time of prayer and study and our family devotion, our prayer lives gone to seed tonight. And our homes are falling apart. Our lives are falling apart. Our churches are falling apart because we don't dedicate ourselves unto God. I'm telling you the truth. Wish I could just preach this the way it fit into my heart. God burnt this in my soul, and I got to get rid of it. Amen? Our dedication is proven in our witness. How much you witness for God proves your dedication. How many of you talked to today about their soul? How many of you witnessed to and told them that there's a Lamb of God for their sin? How many of you talked to today and stood in the gap and tried to bear them up on wings of prayer before God that they'd be saved in the name of Jesus Christ? They said, "But oh, preacher, I wanted to and I meant to and I didn't have time." Listen, our dedication to God tonight. Listen, you said, "But preacher, I've got to work on a job. I've got to..." Listen, our dedication ought to be number one to the Lord God Almighty. And if we have the dedication we ought to have, we'll witness. You said, "But if God will give me the opportunity..." He does it every day. We just don't open our eyes. It's the reason I believe we ought to be on visitation. Honest before God, I believe that. You know why? Not because the preacher says to. Not because the church said we ought to. But because God said it's a command to go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. I didn't write that. God did. He said, "Go into all parts of the world, preach and teach and baptize in the name of Jesus Christ." The Father, He said, "in the Son and the Holy Ghost." God said that. It's our God-given responsibility and duty. Our dedication is proven in our prayer life. We just pray a little 10-minute prayer. You know why most of us can't pray over 15 minutes? Because we're not used to it. We hadn't developed. Prayer has to be developed. Amen? Tested. I'm right, ain't I? Prayer has to be developed. Prayer has to be developed. You get down to pray. And the devil tries to rob you most of the time. You pray. He don't even want it to go into heaven. He'll get your mind clouded with issues and you can't pray. But just stay before God. Stay before the throne. If you don't believe what I'm talking about tonight, when you go home, your family goes to bed. If you have to, slip up and go get you a flashlight. Put your clothes on. Go out behind your house in the woods somewhere. Or set in your car. Get behind the barn. Get down somewhere and get on your knees before God and say, "God, I just want to sit here and talk to you for a little while and pray and pray and pray and seek the face of God." See how long you make. You'll be back in the bed in a few minutes. You know why? We're not used to it. But them old boys over there in the New Testament, they could pray. They prayed for 10 days. We pray 10 minutes. They prayed 10 days. Amen? Hey, we got the first 2 digits right. We just missed the last words. We sure did. We saw 10 and quit. Amen? But anyhow, saying tonight, the devil don't want us to pray. Our dedication is proven in our prayer life. Then our dedication is proven in our faith before God. And if we don't pray right and have that worship right and stay before God right, listen, we'll fall apart at the seams. No wonder we can't believe God for everything. Our faith's not too strong. The devil said, "Don't go too far in your dedication. Don't get too far. You might have to quit this. You might have to quit that. Why, you ought to have to quit going over there. And you ought to have to quit going over..." Listen, your fun will be taken away from you. You won't have any fun anymore. The devil tells you that. Just dedicate a little bit. Don't get too close. Don't get too far away from me is what he's saying. I want to give you some fun. Best fun you ever had trying to live for God. Then the devil says, "Don't go too far in your praise." What he says. He says that today. Well, even now, did you know God's people from Genesis to Revelation are a people of praise? If you don't believe it, you take the Psalm 150 Psalms in there, and every one of them, David said something about praising God. Starts off in the first chapter. Blessed is the man, praise God. What do you think a blessed man is? He's a man that offers praise before God. Amen. He's planted by the water down there, and his leaf did not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Sounds like a fella or a man or a woman that can praise God tonight.
Then he ends up the chapters, the whole 150 Psalms, talking about praise ye the Lord. Praise, praise.
You say, but preacher, ought not to get too far. That's what the devil says. Don't get too far in your praise. Don't get too far in your praise tonight.
We ought to praise Him in our daily walk. We ought to praise Him on the job. You say, amen?
Yes, sir. We ought to praise Him on the job. David did. He sat out there and tend them old sheep. Amen?
And he praised God.
Praised Him on the job. I remember this afternoon, I went back to the mill. I was having a good time. I come right through the middle of town. There's some woman was singing a song on a tape I was listening to. Brother over at Dr. Hal Sattler's church in Greenville, South Carolina, I'd had myself a spell. I enjoyed it real. Drove into the Carson Mill, pulled in there, got out. Brother, I was so tanked up. One of the fellows got out of his car, rolled in front of me, and I said, hallelujah. He said, what? And I said, hallelujah.
He said, what did he say? Never has said nothing yet. We went on in.
Oh, praise him, amen. Not ashamed of it.
Praise God, he done something for me.
I got saved by the grace of God. I preached the grace of God. I got saved by the blood of Christ that washed my sins away. I've got something to praise Him for tonight. Faith in Jesus saved my soul. Lord, I praise Him in our daily walk. Secondly, Lord, I praise Him in the sanctuary.
Now we got a good one. Nehemiah chapter 8. And we'd have to turn over and read that. That's too good to pass up.
Nehemiah chapter 8, Scofield Bible, page 549. He said in Nehemiah chapter number 8, page 549 in the Scofield Bible, verse number 3, said, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. They weren't Baptists. You don't read a half a day in a Baptist church and they still be attentive.
You'll catch on in a minute.
A half a day he read the Scriptures and they were attentive to the Word of God. Then he goes on down in verse number 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up.
Now you see where some of these preachers ask you to stand when they read the Word. Don't ever knock a preacher that does that. He's all right. Lord of Reverence, listen, they'll stand up at the ball game when the national anthem is played. Isn't the Word of God more important? Amen. Don't ever knock that. I've heard folks knock that. Heard people say, oh,
he ought not have made us stand up. I despise to stand up when he's reading the Bible.
Something wrong with you. Amen.
He said, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground.
They praised Him in the sanctuary. Did they not? Well, it's all right to say amen. They said it a long time before you got here. Amen.
We ought to praise Him in the sanctuary. Then we ought to praise Him tonight in our prayer meetings. Wednesday night or whenever it is. You can find the Word of God over in the book of Acts. Said that they prayed. And when they prayed, the place was shaken. The Holy Ghost came on them. And the Bible said they spoke with boldness. And that's the only time you can speak with boldness. It's when the power of God comes on. The place where they were, the Bible said, was shaken. Then, the Bible says that we ought to, and He teaches us this, that we ought to praise Him, even in the street corner. That's Jesus sitting on the front row, Scott, and saying, amen, it was a lot. Isn't it? Hey, it's not so bad. You can all do it tonight. Every one of you can say, amen. I mean, it wouldn't bother you a bit here. It's an easy place.
Boy, now you get down there in Eagle Shopping Mall. I mean, down there in the parking lot of Eagles. Or down there at Belk's Gallup store and sitting down there and waving up your hand and holler, hallelujah, praise the Lord. It ain't so popular down there. It ain't these meetings.
You sit out in the street, we ought to praise Him. We ought to praise Him every time we get up in the morning. We ought to praise Him until we lay our eyes closed at night and we lay on our bed.
Folks get that as strange every once in a while. We've come to a day, people got out of there. And I'm not trying to advocate that. God knows my heart. I'm just trying to tell you. Nothing wrong with praising God. He said in chapter number 3 of the book of Acts, there was a little old boy in the 3rd chapter of the book of Acts sitting down there at the gate called Beautiful. 2 little old preacher boys went to the house of God every day. Hey, back in Bible days, they went to church every day. That's Chill Baptist this day and hour.
Say amen.
They get disturbed. You have a week-long meeting in a revival.
They get weird and tired.
But these boys went to church every day. They went down to the house of God to pray every day. And they went down there, and on the one occasion they come by, this old boy sitting there asking alms. He couldn't get up. He couldn't walk. He'd never walked a day in his life. They carried him down there. He'd sit there. And he asked alms of Peter and John as they're going to the temple. And old Peter looked down and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the Bible said, the man began to tiptoe around.
Did I miss it? Did I miss it? I missed it. Thank you, John. I missed it.
Said he began to walk and to leap and to praise God.
You would too. They've been toting you for years. And you took a step for the first time. I'd try it out, bless God, wouldn't you? Try it out. Well, he done that to me one day when he saved my son. Ought to praise him on the street corner. I was out in a public place. Then we ought to praise him in the jailhouse. Acts chapter 16 said Paul and Silas was beaten, put in stocks and bonds, and the Bible said about midnight he began to pray and sing praises unto God.
Then what happened? Earthquake tore the stocks and bonds off. Yes, it did.
It might hit you. Your life might go a little smoother. Hey, my life might go a little smoother if I'd start praising God a little more often. You know what happens to me? The devil says, don't go too far in your praising. They'll think you're crazy. It really don't make no difference what they think, does it? Let's not get that far out on a tangent. Praise God. Let's just forget about it and just do what God wants us to do and quit worrying about what the neighbors think or our friends think or our fellow church folks think tonight. Let's just serve God. Quit worrying about it. It's killed a lot of folks and their influence. But they praise God and something happened. The devil said, don't praise too much. Don't get too far involved. Don't get too deep in this thing. He don't tell you that down at the ball game. He don't tell you that down at the car race. He don't tell you that down at the horse race. He don't tell you that down at the swimming hole. He tells you that when you go to the house of God. He wants you to get involved in everything else but the Lord's work. Honestly. Then we ought to praise Him in our house. Our kids would be a lot better off tonight if they hear us praising God down at the house. Amen. They hear us fussing at old Junior. They hear us fussing their wife. They hear our wife fussing at us. They hear us fighting one another. They don't hear us praising God. I mean, I wonder what it'd be like if some kids went home in the afternoon and heard Mom and Daddy shouting and praising God and praying. And going in, the handkerchiefs were going everywhere. I know what they'd do. They'd call the preacher and say, hey, get them up here. The rescue squad needs to get up here quick. Mom and Daddy's going nuts. About what happened. Our kids need to see us praising God down at the house. They need to hear that. We fuss too much. We grumble too much. We gripe too much. Amen and amen and amen and amen. I say it to every one of them because I know it's so. We fuss too much. We gripe too much.
We complain too much. We ought to praise God. Hey! The devil says you're not careful, you'll praise Him too much. Have you ever seen anybody praise God too much? If you have, raise your hand. I want to see you. Amen? How many of you say, listen, you don't have to worry about it this day. I don't see enough praising God. You don't have to worry about this thing getting out of control and out of hand. It just won't do it. I haven't seen it get out of hand. It won't. The devil'll see to that. All right. Then tonight, I said there's three areas that we ought not to go to. I mean, the devil says we ought not to go too far. I disagree with him myself personally. Do you? I disagree with that rascal. I think we ought to. The old fellow down there from Mill, every time I talked to him, I said, how's it going? He said, wide open. That's the way we ought to go for God. That's the way we ought to go for God. Wide open, full speed ahead. Don't let anything stop you. Run it over. I mean, go for God tonight. Score a touchdown for Jesus. Amen. I mean, run this race tonight. Pick up the ball and go, folks. God wants us to do something for the Lord. Now, last point. I want to say this. If you've been saved by the grace of God, the blood of Christ has been applied to your heart, you done went too far. Now, don't you judge me yet. Don't judge me yet. Listen to me. If you've been saved by the grace of God, the blood's been applied, you've done come too far. You say, what have I come too far? What do you mean? You've come too far to look back. Amen. Old song said, I've come too far to look back. Amen. And nothing behind me to look back to. The Israelites turned one day and said, we want to go back to Egypt. But down in Egypt, all you could find was leeks and garlics and cucumbers. Isn't it strange that we as God's people want to turn and go back, but we've come too far to go back. Too far to go back. Hallelujah. Heaven's lights done shone down in our lives. While we, listen, we don't have no need to look back to the darkness of this world. We've done touched on heaven tonight. We've done tasted from the manna of glory. Why in the world do we want to put our feet on the devil's table? God's been too good to us. We've come too far to turn back. Hallelujah. You've been saved by the grace of God tonight. You've come too far to look back. You done seen the hand of God move too much in your life. You done seen the Lord work so much in your life. There's no need to turn back. He's done it all. He's going to keep doing it all tonight. Don't look back. You've come too far tonight. If you're saved by the grace of God, you've come too far to quit tonight. No quitting to this thing. Fellow said, what about losing? Brother, ain't but one end of this thing, and that's the end you get on. Amen? And it runs on from there. Praise be unto God. We've come too far to quit. Winners don't quit. And quitters don't win. But God gives us the grace to press on, press on, press on. Hallelujah. Ought to press on tonight. We've come too far to quit. We've come too far to look back. And we've come too far tonight to jeopardize our children and lay it all down and watch them be ruined by the hand of the devil. I'm telling you, we've come too far. We'll see it in our children. Matter of fact, I'm here to tell you, you leave God, walk away from God tonight, and don't listen to what I've done, preached, and told you, and talked to you about tonight. You can see the evidence of it. Your body may be buried in a cemetery somewhere, and your children come along and have to reap some of your ungodliness and foolishness in their children, in your own grandchildren. It may have to be reaped tonight. We've come too far to jeopardize it in our children. Then we've come too far tonight to bring reproach upon the cause of Christ. Well, I'll tell you, there's no need for us to turn around. There's no need for us to back up. We ought to press on, weary child, press on. I don't care if the devil shoots us on every side. I don't care if he throws his wicked darts tonight. Let's not quit. Let's press on. Press on for the glory of God. We've come too far to quit and to jeopardize our children and to bring reproach on the cause of Christ. We've come too far tonight to lose that full reward. I want to have something to live and give Him when I get over to the other side. I want to bow at His feet and crown Him King of Kings.
and Lord of Lords.
The devil says, don't go too far. Don't get too dedicated. Don't get too close to God. You won't have much fun if you get dedicated to God.
I disagree with that rascal. He's lying. The Bible said he's a liar and the father of it. He's always told a lie and never has told nothing but a lie. He's never told the truth. The devil tonight, he's out after us. Pharaoh said, you can go, but don't go too far. Moses said, flat-footed, looked him in the eye and said, we all going, or none of us going. He didn't compromise. Folks, don't compromise this rotten, stinking world tonight. It won't pay you. It pays to stay with it. You've come too far to look back. Heads bowed, eyes closed.